This is Pete Fornatale back with you on this Christmas Eve edition of Saturday Morning 60s with a special rebroadcast of our visit last August with Brian Wilson. It all began with some good vibrations at WNEW-FM in New York.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Softly smile, I know she must be kind.
It is my pleasure to welcome to the program this morning the creator of that particular record, Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys, none other than Brian Wilson. Good morning, Brian.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
Very well. Welcome back.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
We've done this before, but the last time was about 12 years ago, so a lot of things have happened in between that we want to catch up on today. Since we just played it, this might be the perfect point to start at, Brian. First of all, when critics put out lists like this or surveys do the top records of the 60s or whatever, and your work appears on there, how does that make you feel?
I feel rather honored, you know. I just kind of feel like I'm among giants, you know.
Sure.
Of the industry, and it's really quite nice to be associated with people of that stature.
Yeah. That particular record, I asked you earlier if when you hear your music on the radio, if it pleases you or if you...
Sometimes it pleases me and sometimes it brings back some far-out memories. But mostly pleases me, though, because it's a thrill to hear your music on the radio. You know?
Good Vibrations was an attempt to expand the possibilities of what a three-and-a-half-minute single could be, wasn't it?
Somewhat, yes. It was an idea of an expansion, yes.
You called it, there was a phrase that I remember from interviews at the time, Pocket Symphony?
Yes.
How would you define Pocket Symphony?
Well, what it means is it's a condensed form of a symphony. It's not as long in duration, but it does have movements within it.
Uh-huh.
It has enough movements to call it a symphony.
Okay. The changes in the record. This was, at the time, the most expensive single that had ever been recorded and the one that took the longest. Why was that? Can you tell us?
Good Vibrations?
Yeah.
Well, because we wanted to get a record that we thought people would like, you know, that they would be entertained by.
Uh-huh.
So we went in and we cut part of it in one studio, and then part of it in another studio, and then part of it in two more studios. You know, we used five studios to record it in.
Five studios?
Five different studios it was recorded in.
Over a period of a couple of months?
Yes.
That's a lot of energy and a lot of creativity going on.
It took about 6 weeks.
6 weeks. At the time, you know, there's always been this question of art and commerce in rock and roll. Art and commerciality.
Right.
Now, you've managed somehow, with even this early evidence of your work, as well as on the new album, to kind of hit both things. That must be a difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Well, my new album, of course, has a little bit for everybody in it, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's got, like, Nighttime for kind of like the new wavers.
Yeah.
It's got, like, Melt Away for the older set. You know, it's got a little of everything, you know?
Yeah.
Love and Mercy for everybody.
Why did it take, let's say, 26 years for there to be a Brian Wilson solo album?
Well, because I didn't want to be anything but a Beach Boy, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And then finally, I said to myself, I think I'll try and Dr. Lanny brought it up to me, Gene.
Right.
And he said, well, maybe you could do a solo album. What do you think? And I said, well, if we do it at my pace. So we did it at my pace, and it took a year. I was on and off for a year.
A year. Also, now, let's compare it to the process that went into the record we just heard. The new album was done in studios all across the country, yes?
Yes.
Some of the sessions took place right here in New York City.
Yeah,
last summer.
At the Hit Factory recording studio, yes.
Uh-huh.
And what we did was we shuffled around to different places, and we found the Hit Factory to be a good place. And in L.A., there's like 10 different studios we went to, I think. 10 studios.
Do you get comfortable in a particular studio? In other words, can there be an influence of the studio on the track that you're making?
Yes. The studio has a lot to do with the sound characteristics that you're dealing with. You know,
uh-huh.
You're dealing with sound commodities,
right.
Sound. And different studios help reflect different aspects of that sound.
Uh-huh. You were one of the first people in rock and roll to take control of the sessions that you participated in.
Yes.
You know, it used to be much more common for a group to go in under the direction of someone who was specifically there to produce, or an A&R man, and make an album. But with the early Beach Boy records, you went in and took control. How did that come about? Did you feel that you had to have that control to get the musical ideas that were in your head out on the record?
Yeah, you have to take control for that reason, because if you don't, who will? I always look at it as, if I don't, who will, you know?
Yeah.
And I go into that attitude of like, well, I will then, you know? No, but it's pre-planned, too, at the same time, you know?
Sure. I mean, you've got to go in with some idea.
Yeah, you have a semblance of an idea, then when you get there, by the time you take over, it's done. You get the direction wrapped up. And sealed up them in a box. It's like, boom, you know?
Can you recall for us the first time you ever walked into a recording
studio? Yes, we did. The first time was when we did Surfing.
Uh-huh.
And we walked into basically a movie editing studio. And they set up a microphone, and we recorded a record in a movie studio, you know, editing for movies.
Yeah.
And I'll be darned if Surfing didn't come about.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me. Now surf, surf with ball, ball, dip, 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 ball, ball, dip, dip. I got up this morning, turned on my radio. I was checking out the surfing scene to see if I would go. And when the DJ tells me that the surfing is fine, that's when I know my baby and I will have a good time. Go and surf, ball, dip, 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 surf, ball, dip, dip.
What I'd like you to do right now is contrast that experience and that technology with the technology that you encountered making the new album.
All right.
How have things changed? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
All right. Well, I like the new way of recording better because it gives you a chance to put one instrument on at a time, all done by synthesizers, Everything you hear on a record nowadays are usually done by synthesizers and guitars, too, but mostly synthesizers. That's how I work.
Uh-huh.
And I get the synthesizers on tape, and I have one at a time. You put on one, when you're recording in the 60s, live bands, it all goes on at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, but now with modern technology, you can put one track at a time.
How about specifically recording vocals? Because when the group recorded vocals, you used to do them in live takes, didn't you?
Yeah.
Is that somehow better or not than the ability to take each individual part and record it separately and then put it together at a later stage?
Well, what it is when you record live, you have leakage, what they call leakage, right? From one instrument over to another guy's microphone. That's called leakage. Leakage is part of the sound that you achieve. It's a sound phenomenon, leakage.
Right.
Like the bass might go into one of the guitarist's microphones too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the guitarist might leak over into the bass's amp. So they get a leakage in each other's amplifiers, you know?
Right.
So that's like one thing that is where you can get a pretty much of a little... It's not a better sound, so to speak. It's just it's interesting. You know what I mean?
Different.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. But with this new technology thing, I like it better because you can combine anything with anything, you know, in the mix when you mix it down in the final mix when it goes from 48 or 24 track down to 2 track.
Now, in the process of making the new album, you did not produce this one by yourself. There was a number of people involved in different tracks and such. As someone who in the past totally controlled their sessions, was it difficult for you to give up some of that control to other people in the process of making the new music?
No, because I was right on the spot with them. See, I was right on the spot.
Right.
So it wasn't that hard to do that. You know what I mean? Because we all work together.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on top of everything that goes on in the studio.
Right.
So... I feel like I can accomplish it that way. You know what I mean?
It seems to me that creating in the studio is a very happy time for you.
Yes, it is. It's a very, very happy, creative time. Some pressure, you know, but that's only because you want to get it right. You want to do it, and so you get it to where it suits your approval of, you know, as far as sound quality goes.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all a matter of somebody's approval.
Yeah. I first heard the album, I guess now, about a month ago, and I'll tell you my honest first reactions to it. I liked it instantly. It felt very comfortable and very familiar, even though in its way it was new and different. You know, it combined a lot of elements for me. And I couldn't help get Pet Sounds out of my head. I kept thinking to myself, this is Pet Sounds Part 2. This is a sequel almost. Do you see it that way?
Yes, I do. I see it as a sequel to Pet Sounds. Because it's the first thing serious works that I've ever done since Pet Sounds.
Oh.
It's the only Beach Boy album that I ever did that was more of a Brian Wilson kind of album.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you did most of that in California while the group was out on the road, and then they would come in and take your direction as to the individual parts that you had for them on.
Yes.
Isn't that so?
Yes.
I may not always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? And God only knows what I'd be without you. God only knows what I need.
God Only Knows from the classic Beach Boys album Pet Sounds. I'll be back with more of my Brian Wilson interview after these messages. Back with more of our Brian Wilson special on Saturday Morning 60s. Here's a song from Brian's solo album, which he co-wrote with Jeff Lynne, Let It Shine at WNEW-FM.
Let it shine, oh, let it shine. Let it shine, oh, let it shine. Let it shine, oh, let it shine. Let it shine, oh, let it shine.
Shadows fall, the ocean calls to me, the night is
I mean, that moment when the album was finished and you were holding it in your hands, can you describe the feeling that you had, Brian?
Well, I guess it's like a mother holding a newborn baby, right? It was like your baby. You created that album, and it means a hell of a lot to you, you know, to look at it, to look at the finished product right there with your own two eyes, you know? And listen to it with your... I only have one ear, actually. I'm deaf in my right ear.
That's right. Again, getting back to the studio process, this album is obviously totally stereo. Did you have to leave those judgments to other people because of your hearing problem? How do you compensate for that?
Well, when we make a stereo, the engineer kind of like is in charge of the stereo, and my executive producer, Dr. Eugene Landy, he also works with the engineering and getting the overall sound and the stereo mix. I can't hear stereo.
Right.
I cannot hear stereo, which I'll never know. I never could, you know, so I'll never know. Just like Stevie Wonder would never know how it was to CC.
Yeah, sure. You've got a record out now that you're very proud of, and obviously you want people to hear. Are you... pleased with the reactions to it so far?
Yeah, people walk up to me all over the place. They go, Brian, I love your album. They're coming out of the woodworks. I can't believe it, you know? People are saying, like, Brian, what a great album. You know, that's the reward right there when somebody tells me that. All that whole year of slaving and working hard, then I start hearing people walk up to me, Brian, I love your album, Brian, you know?
I mentioned this to you on one of your previous visits. It's just something that I want you to know and understand and feel very deeply, which is that how much your music has meant and means in the lives of other people.
Yeah, that's one thing that a music maker gives of his music, you know. And somebody turns around and they go, wow, I like that Brian Wilson makes good music, and they buy it, you know.
Yes, they've been buying it for quite a few years now.
Yes.
Yeah.
have never made yourself as available to interviewers as you have in connection with the new solo album. A couple of things I'd like to know. Are you enjoying the process?
Yeah, it's a little bit rough, you know, because, I mean, you got to stay on and you got to be together all the time, you know? And I mean, like, that means that you got to, like, be ready to shovel over the stuff, you know, because really, really, really fork across with the nitty-gritty stuff, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh,
you
sure.
Got to do that.
In other words, you've got to talk about positive things as well as,
absolutely,
as
yeah.
negative things. Have you learned anything about yourself by going through these intense interviews the last couple of months?
Yeah, I learned that I had a lot more to say than I thought, you know. I didn't think I had that much to say about this and that, you know, about the album stuff, but I really did, you know.
A regular little chatterbox here that we're dealing with. What don't you like about interviews? Is it the
I've
thing
never said that I don't like about interviews. I love interviews.
Oh, that's
I think
great.
They're great.
All right. But in a sense, it does mean having all of this laundry, whether it's clean and wonderful laundry or whether it's dirty laundry, hung up in public. Does that disturb you or embarrass you to see particularly the articles that delve into your mental state and your highs and low periods over the last 15 or 20 years?
Yeah, the high people. Well, here's what happened. We got going in 1963. With Serving USA, Surfer Girl, I Get Around. Well, that was 1964. And the high period of our career was when we made Good Vibrations. To me, that was the high period, you know, because it went to number one on the charts, and it established the Beach Boys as a more ingenious group, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then we went into Wild Honey and Friends, and you know, and then eventually got just a little bit after Sunflower and Surf's Up, I started slumping, and I slumped over, and I just slumped. I couldn't believe it. I went into a slump.
Pressure?
Yeah. I gave into the pressure. I went into the state of my room, did drugs all the time, you know?
Right.
To just wipe out the reality in my head, you know?
If you could go back and do those years over, is that the first thing you'd eliminate?
Oh, I would never take drugs. No. Drugs are the worst for you. Yeah. Not good to take drugs.
And there's a whole body of work in there. I mean, the commitment to music on your part was always there. It always came shining through. I mean, there are moments on all of the albums that you
yeah.
released in the 70s and the 80s that showed the gift. Is that how you approach it, your musical abilities? Is it a gift?
To some degree, it is a gift, yeah. A lot of it is kind of like hard work and being able to work out these chord progressions and some of these melodies like it's a chore almost. You work hard, and then the next day you get up and go, whoa! You go to the piano, you go, oh! And you just start writing again, you know? You just, the chore from, and then into the spontaneous creation. It's amazing.
You know, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but in the spirit of honesty that has prevailed in this conversation, I'm going to mention to you something, which is that Steve Allen, I'm sure you're aware of Steve Allen, the comedian,
yes.
author, etc. He worked here for a while over on our AM station across the hall. And because of his musical talents, they had a piano moved in over there. And it's still there. Even though Steve Allen isn't here anymore, the piano is over there on the AM side. If you feel comfortable in the next hour or so, do you think we might walk across the hall and maybe you could show me what the creative process that you're talking about
sure.
is about? Would you be interested in
sure.
doing that? Hey, that's great. That gives us something else to look forward to in the next hour that we spend together with Brian Wilson here on the radio. But first, I'd like to play something else from the new solo album. I've got two things ready to go, Brian. I'll let the choice be yours. One is Little Children over here, and the other is Melt Away over here. What's your pick, and tell us why?
Let's hear Melt Away, because it kind of sets the mood for a nice loving ballad.
Let's listen to
some nice love lyrics.
I wonder why nothing ever seems
got such a warm feeling to it.
It does, doesn't it? It kind of has love in it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I read in one of the interviews that you've done, you said something very interesting, which was, you know, sometimes we're called upon to think of different ways to say Merry Christmas. How can you say Merry Christmas in a different way? You can, can't you?
Absolutely. Oh, that's what it's all about, I think, you know. I think that the being able to say I love you in the same way is can be said a million ways.
Yeah, yeah, that's the other phrase that came to mind. You know, it's those three little words, but there are new ways to present them, and I think you've accomplished that more than once on the new record, particularly in that selection that we just heard. This is Pete Fornatale this Saturday morning, and I will be back with more with my special guest, Brian Wilson, 102.7 WNEW-FM in New York.